What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 49. How was your week, Micah?
It was great, man. Good week. Got some solid competitive play in with some buds, including you. Same old thing, trucking along. Excited for this week. Comic-Con's going on right now, so we don't have anything to report on a bunch. We'll do some things this week on it, but it's still kind of in the middle of it, so. But yeah, man, how about your week? How's your week been?
Busy, same old, just working a lot, and a lot of stuff going on in the summer. Like always, you know, kind of gets busy around this time of year, but things are going good, man. I'm excited that we're getting back more into the groove of doing this again, and a lot of stuff going on actually in the nerd world with Comic-Con and a lot of announcements and new trailers, and yeah, man, just a lot of good stuff going on.
A lot of good stuff going on, man. Well, let's talk about kind of our 2 cents section this week. Sean, did you buy the Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Edition? Did you watch that at all?
I did. Yeah, I went out and I got it and picked it up this week and watched it. It has an extra, I guess, 30-some minutes that was kind of cut from the theatrical release. I watched it. I thought I really enjoyed the first one, and I know me and Micah, we were the opposite of what everybody was spitting out when this movie came out. We were definitely for it. We enjoyed it. I'll say the extra 30 minutes I enjoyed. I thought it added a little bit. It wasn't just fluff. It wasn't just useless scenes. I feel like it definitely added to Jesse Eisenberg, his whole portrayal of Lex Luthor. I thought it made it a little bit bigger, a little more grandiose. Definitely made him seem more crazy than it did before. And then also, I feel like it fleshed out Batman's character and Superman's character as well a little bit better. Definitely Superman's. It gave him more. I guess for some reason they cut a lot of the Superman stuff out because they wanted it to be more of a Batman movie. But yeah, I feel like what they put back in definitely helped. I don't know. I kind of felt like when I saw the movie originally, there was like this kind of made Superman look a lot like just being a dick most of the time, where now it explains it a little bit better. And I feel like it rounds out his character more and that he wasn't just being a dick. He does actually care about, Batman and or Bruce Wayne and everything. He's struggling trying to figure out how he fits into this world. And I think they portrayed that a lot better with this extra Ultimate Edition. Did you happen to have a chance to go out and get it, or?
I haven't got it yet. I want to go get it tomorrow and check it out. My question for you is, did it really feel, so it did feel like there was additional footage. It felt like you could recognize the additional scenes that were shot. It wasn't just like, oh, they put an extra half an hour in there? I couldn't tell. So
no, yeah, I felt like it was definitely noticeable. I mean, I feel like it was strong dialogue that they added back in. I know they leaked like a little bit of the Steppenwolf stuff with Lex Luthor at the end. Like, I think it trickled out a little bit, but they have a lot more of that in this. So I think, yeah, it rounds out his character honestly the most. I feel like it really shows him as a psycho really well, and I feel like it gives a lot more to Superman. So yeah, it's definitely noticeable. I would say if you hadn't, or if you had seen it and you didn't like it a ton, or you felt like there was something missing, I would say for our listeners to go out and check it out. I think it does actually add a lot. But yeah, if you saw it and you did like it before, it doesn't ruin it. It doesn't make it, it doesn't like ruin whatever you felt like you experienced the first time. I felt like, at least, I felt like it just contributed more. It felt like it just gave me a richer story. Like, I appreciated the original cut or the theatrical cut, but I do feel like this just gives a little bit more even, so.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know, man. Yeah, I can't wait to see it again. And it's just in time because, Suicide Squad is literally right around the corner. I'm so excited for that. I can't wait to go see that movie. So this is kind of cool that it'll kind of give me something to hold me over until Suicide Squad comes out, so. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I can't wait to kind of give my opinion on it, but I'm sure that I will love it just like you did. We kind of, shared the same views on it. So I think it's a good thing. I can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah, it was just exciting watching the movie again to start with, because like we've both said already a million times, I really enjoyed it. And so to go back and watch it, you know, in your house, you're able to like study it a little bit more. You're able to see it a little bit better. You're taking it in for the second time, so it's a lot clearer in a lot of areas. So, yeah, man, it's good. Definitely would recommend going and picking it up.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Well, that actually, I liked it so much it inspired me to read comics, which I haven't had time or just the, I don't know, I guess gumption to go do again for a while. But I went on to my iPad and I bought some digital comics. DC just went through a new... I guess rerun. I don't know how to, what would you call it? a new cycle.
I'd say rebirth. Rebirth is pretty a good term for it. Since the new 52 was kind of a rebirth, it sounds like they have another rebirth that just happened.
Yeah. So DC went through this whole new release of arcs and everything that's starting over again. And I just picked up Justice League Rebirth number one and then Batman Rebirth number one and read those this week, and both were great. I haven't had an opportunity to read a lot of comics lately, so it's really cool to get back into it, and so far the stories seem really exciting. I'm really excited to get on this new tick. So
nice, man. That's awesome. Yeah, and that's hopefully the goal of DC with Batman vs. Superman, to get people to do that. Connect with comic books in an easy way. You don't have to have a comic book store near you. You can just hop on Amazon Kindle and buy whatever comic books you need. That's what me and Sean do. So that's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm trying to read through all the way currently to DC. I'm on the new 52 still. I finished Batman Incorporated. Finished a good amount of Batman right now. I'm just trying to catch up before I hit that rebirth and read all that stuff, but I'm not too far off, but I miss reading comics. I actually was been reading this Shaman Warrior series that is outstanding. Pick it up on Amazon. It's just Shaman Warrior. It's just a comic. It's kind of like American anime type story. The art is just outstanding, but I miss my DC. Yeah. I need my DC stories.
Yeah, man. I will tell you, honestly, man, I have missed reading comics a lot. It's just good, dude. It's just like, I don't know what it is about it, if it was just because it was such a part of my life for a while, but getting back into it, I really enjoyed it and really missed it. So looking forward to catching up on the rest of them. They are releasing all the characters pretty much in DC are getting rebirth issues, so need to catch up on all those. As far as like I want to read the Green Arrow ones, the Flash one. Flash is like so far the whole story is pretty much based around him, and he's like a pretty central character to this point, which he was in 52 as well, the new 52. So yeah, man, really enjoying it, dude. Really looking forward to it, and definitely looking forward to talking more on this podcast about some comic stuff, and when you start reading it too, getting into some discussions over it. I think it'll be really fun.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm so glad to hear that. And if you're a listener and you are really on the DC Comics or even Marvel Comics, if you're still a comic book reader, don't forget to tweet at us. Let us know what you guys think, what you guys are reading. We would love to hear what your guys' opinions are, what books you're into right now. So yeah, that's awesome. But moving right along to the last section of our two cents, the Overwatch update came to consoles. No one knew when it was coming, but it came. Anna is here and the Torbjorn nerf is very real. So yeah, we were just kind of going to go over that a little bit. Sean, what did you think of Anna? Have you gotten to play with her yet or?
Yeah, I haven't played as her yet. I jumped on and I played a couple competitive matches, and I wasn't wanting to use her yet until I, you know, get some quick plays in with her first. But yeah, man, she was on every team I, you know, played with. Everybody wanted to be her, so she was always taken right away. It's some people, obviously, there's a learning curve, I'm sure, to it, so a lot of people weren't very good with her yet. But the people that I played with that were good with her were killing it, man. I mean, they were definitely useful. They were sniping from long distances, and they were providing that heal support that everybody needed. So, yeah, man. Have you had a chance to play with her yet?
I have. I say I got like a half an hour in with her, played like four or five quick matches with her. I mean, you have to love support, and you'll have to love sniping. She's a very technical character. She's not a character that I think is easy to learn. I think she takes a lot of practice and a lot of patience to get good with. But overall, I think Blizzard is genius to bring this idea of a sniper that can heal in the game. I think it changes the meta in a good way. A good friend of mine, Matt, he is a really good sniper, really good support, and he did a couple times. I was Pharah, where I would pop my ult, and you know how when she does her Justice Rains from Above, she dies very quickly because she only has 200 HP. So he was shooting me with the HP while I was popping my ult. So you can really communicate, and you can really strategize with her. I mean, it's really interesting all the different strats you can do. And just like in the video for her, when she pops her ult and makes somebody powerful, man, if she gives it to Reinhardt, it is like he just wrecks the whole team, just regular swinging his hammer. So her ult, I think, is a game changer for sure. We lost some competitive matches because of her ult. So yeah, I think overall Anna's a great character. I think Blizzard really did a great job changing the meta of the game in a good way. I'm excited to see what character's next. Hopefully it's a tank. That would be fun. But we'll see. But the Torbjorn nerf needed to happen on consoles. So glad it did. Up to 40% damage nerfed from his turrets. His gun's still the same amount of damage, which is good. But
yeah, I know that was that and Symmetra's, right? Her sentry turrets are also
down. Yeah, her Symmetra's turrets went down. D.Va and Zenyatta got a huge buff.
Yeah.
I think D.Va, they gave her too much.
Way too much, in my opinion, too. It's
her,
ridiculous.
Now her ult doesn't kill her, so she doesn't have to worry about running away. And also, the defense matrix, the little lines that pop up where she blocks everything, it almost regenerates
instantaneously. She has it up almost the whole time now.
Yeah, it's a problem. I think that the thing I don't understand about Blizzard is because she was a very popular character, at least in my group of friends that I was playing. I mean, people we played against, she was almost in every game that we played. So it's not like people weren't playing her. I don't understand why they gave her such a big buff. But I think it'll be addressed, and I think that they'll tone her back a little bit. Hopefully that defense matrix will have a longer time on it again. But we'll see. I know my buddy Grant, who plays D.Va all the time, he was ecstatic about it. So Zenyatta, his buff is great. His ult, you can pretty much move around so quickly. His orbs are a lot more instantaneous when you throw them on, the disruption orb or the healing orb. I still love Zenyatta. He's one of my favorite characters, my favorite support character. But yeah, I mean, all these updates overall, it was a good update. I think, the meta of the game, I mean, Torbjorn was just, he needed to be nerfed, but,
I honestly, I feel like I played as Torbjorn a few times and I didn't really feel like, it was that much different. You know, I feel like it was, just about the same for me. You know, I noticed a little bit of a difference, but not anything drastic. I honestly, the biggest thing I noticed was the D.Va change, and yeah, it sucked. So I felt like D.Va was just way too powerful. Zenyatta, I felt like, was well balanced. Torbjorn, I felt like, was fine. You know, Symmetra, all that was great. But I feel like I think the biggest issue I had with it was that if you nerf Torbjorn and Symmetra's turrets, and then you allow D.Va to have this crazy shield, it's like they're useless against her. Like, absolutely useless against her.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get damage on her. You really got to get her from behind, because that defense matrix only works from the front. So yeah, if you're shooting her from the side or the back.
But that just, see, I mean, it, for turret-wise, it just doesn't make.
Turret, yeah, no, absolutely. I know what you're saying. I agree. I think Torbjorn's, it's good that you can't tell that big of a difference, because you don't want to make the character useless. So he still is powerful, but I think the biggest thing where I notice a difference is his Molten Core is not as powerful at all as it used to be. It
seems shorter, that turret, too.
It does seem like the timeline is a little bit shorter. I don't know if that was in the patch notes or not, but when he pops his Molten Core, that turret does not become that much more powerful. I think that was another big part of it. So it's a good balance for him. I think the biggest problem was you could play 10 Torbjorns in freaking competitive play. You know what I mean? I think in competitive play, only one specific hero per player is great. You can't double up on Soldier or any other hero. That was needed in competitive play.
Yeah,
so
I feel like that was a really good addition.
Yeah, huge, huge addition. So, but yeah, I mean, Overwatch is still a great game. It's still a lot of fun. It's still great to practice and try to get as good as you can. I'm still trying to be the most well-rounded player I can be. But man, that just takes time. So yeah, but anything else you got on the update for Overwatch?
No, yeah, I mean, I think you hit it all. I thought overall the update, I agree, was much needed and it was good. I feel like there was some stuff they kind of fucked up on as far as like the D.Va stuff. But other than that, you know, I can't complain too much. I feel like it was a pretty even and equal update, especially with adding a new character. That's always fun. So I'm excited to get to know her better and see if, you know, I could kind of get that character working for me.
Yeah, one quick note I forgot to say. McCree, my favorite character, he got a buff as well. He does not have any damage drop-off anymore, so he's essentially a sniper again, which is great, which I love, and I think was needed for him. I think a lot of people stopped playing him after the fan the hammer went into the ground and wasn't as effective, so I think he's still a little bit well-rounded now. So, but yeah, other than that, I got nothing else to say. Great update. Let's hit it with the next thing.
All right, well, let's get into the news. Obviously, San Diego Comic-Con, the biggest con of them all, is going on currently, and that's where all of the studios and TV studios and film studios and game developers all come out in force and usually have big announcements and drop a lot of new content and new things that are just coming out and coming down the pipe. So we wanted to just address some of those. I know me and Micah both someday hope we could go, you know, maybe do a live show from a San Diego Comic-Con. It would be pretty phenomenal. That's down the road. But we wanted to keep you guys up to date on what was going on with it. A lot of cool stuff. Marvel had a huge presence this year, like they always do. They dropped a Doctor Strange trailer, a Captain Marvel trailer, and a Black Panther trailer for their film studios, which was a big deal. Tons of people were really excited about that. I watched them all. I thought they were all really good. Doctor Strange is definitely that. It's definitely strange, and it's definitely very much on the mystical magic side of things. So I'm kind of cool, kind of interested in seeing it, because I think it's a different take on superheroes than we've seen lately. It's not about just like this big, massive, powerful guy. It's about just a lot more mystical kind of concepts. Captain Marvel looks really interesting. And Black Panther, you know, he made his debut in Civil War. Looks like a really good character. I'm really excited to see that movie as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think out of the three, Doctor Strange has me most intrigued in the movie that I would want to see the most out of them. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so, just because it is so different. Like, the rest are, you know, they're interesting for sure. The Captain Marvel thing, I think it's interesting. Not a lot of Captain Marvel-specific fans out there. I know that there was a big resurgence in the comic book world. She became a woman. So I know that was like a big hubbub, and a lot of people were really interested in that. And then the Black Panther thing, also, I know it was really popular with his debut coming out in Civil War. So, but yeah, Doctor Strange just definitely seems like a different kind of movie, and I'm really excited to see that. Because sometimes, I don't know what it is about Marvel movies, but sometimes it definitely does feel like you're kind of seeing the same movie over and over and over and over.
Exactly, so. Yeah. I completely agree, Sean. I think that's the lore of it. I almost wish DC kind of had one of these mystical kind of heroes. I think the equivalent would be Martian Manhunter if they did like a movie with about him. I think that would be a great contrast. But yeah, I can't agree more. I think Doctor Strange is just something that we haven't seen before on any level, DC or Marvel. So that's why I'm probably most excited to see that movie. So yeah, good trailers all around though. I mean, I can't wait to talk about the DC trailers. Those are outstanding.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Captain Marvel too, I guess they've confirmed that Brie Larson is going to be the actress portraying Captain Marvel, which is pretty exciting. She's a great actress, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did a great casting. There was actually a rumor going around that Ronda Rousey was really like trying to get that role from Marvel, and I think that I don't know how seriously people took that, but I know that was floating around for a while. So glad that they picked her.
Yeah, I think at least from the comic perspective, I think Brie Larson looks a little bit more like what they're portraying right now as Captain Marvel than I think Ronda Rousey. She's a little buffer, you know. she's got that real ass kicking. Like, she actually beats people up for a living.
And so, the interesting thing is, Sean, we've talked a lot about superhero movies and their lifespan. Are they going the way of the Westerns? You know, Steven Spielberg thinks that they will. But, I mean, we're looking at a March 8th, 2019.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a long ways away. So I think we're still in this superhero golden age, and on whenever I see stuff like that, it just makes me smile and happy, because I'm like, yes, there's no end in sight just yet. Right? So exactly. Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
Well, they do so well in theaters, and not to mention, like,
they do. Yeah.
You know, we got the whole Netflix event or Netflix Defenders thing, which they also announced. We've talked about it for a long time. We've known, you know, since they came out with Jessica Jones on Netflix. Daredevil obviously was the flagship for it all, which has been a phenomenal series so far. Jessica Jones was okay. It was renowned really well. I didn't get into it as much as some other people, but I know it's really popular. Luke Cage looks phenomenal. Iron Fist, which is another one that's kind of on the mystical side, because I know he goes off to like some fantasy land and
Kunlun yeah. or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, I'm really interested to see it as like all of them come together and how that's gonna work, because they do definitely. I know Jessica Jones and Daredevil, they definitely have their own feel. Like, they were not the same kind of, I don't know, they just definitely were shot and they feel like different shows. And so I'm curious to see how that goes when they kind of team up and they work together. I know they've had some crossover stuff already, but really looking forward to it, man. It debuts in 2017. Also, Daredevil's been renewed for a third season, which I'm really excited for, because the second season was phenomenal. So I really love what Netflix is doing with it. I think Marvel is hitting it out of the park with their shows. And then on the other side, DC's got all those WB shows that they're just killing it with. So
Yeah. No, I think this is great. Still got to catch up on Daredevil. The first season was outstanding. The casting was outstanding. The fight scenes, I think, were revolutionary. I've never seen fight scenes shot the way that Daredevil was. So the cinematography, I think, is groundbreaking. I think it's great what they're doing. I know the Punisher was received very well from all the reviews that I had read. So yeah, I mean, they're really just off to a running start here, and I can't wait to see how the 2017 The Defenders will look. Netflix is just getting better and better, and we'll talk about Netflix later in the show. But yeah.
Yeah, and then also, you know, we've got all those, we talked about those Flash and Arrow and all these Legends of Tomorrow. They're killing it on the WB. And then DC film studios had these huge release with all of their flagships that are coming out over the next couple of years, I guess. Like Micah said, we've got dates going pretty far out. But we saw a trailer for the Justice League, which blew my fucking mind.
Well, it was an out. Oh, I couldn't believe it. It was so great.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just talk about that, and then we'll do Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad. it got a lot of flack, Sean. I saw a lot of memes that were salty around, like, oh man, they're just copying the Avengers. I thought I saw Tony Stark there for a second. It's like, fuck you, dude. Give me a break. Like, the Justice League was around before the Avengers, I'm pretty sure. And how else do they want them to write the story? I mean, somebody has to assemble the team. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's still a lot of salt for DC and a lot of salt with Ben Affleck. I think Ben Affleck is a good Batman. Do I think he's the best? That still is up for debate. We'll have to see once he does his full career of movies with DC if we'll decide if he's the best or not. As of right now, I think he's pretty darn good, which is pretty hard for me to change my mind because when he was casted, I was very upset about it. I thought it was a huge mistake in casting, but he's done pretty good. But I think that that's shadow, Sean, and I want your opinion on this. Do you think that that shadow of that casting is still carrying with him throughout, even past Batman vs. Superman? I personally think it is. I think that there are people who hate Ben Affleck and think he's a shitty actor and think he's an awful Batman just because they just don't like him. I think that that does translate, but it's kind of groundless because if you look at his performance, Zack Snyder has done an outstanding job with trying to create this DC universe the way that we want it to be created, I think, as a fan. But what do you think about that, Sean? Do you think that there's still this shadow about Ben Affleck being Batman?
You know, I mean, yeah, maybe. I guess. I see. I don't know. I feel like it was like this steamroll bullshit that, you know, it started with he got announced that he was going to play Batman and people flipped out because of like the Daredevil stuff and whatever, like they didn't think he'd be a good Batman. I think he's doing a great job so far. I think playing an older brooding Batman, he's killing it. I think he's phenomenal. He's a great actor, he's a great director. I don't know, I think he's just really good at his job. The trailer I thought was phenomenal, and then I think the Superman franchise got a lot of shit because there were so many bad versions of it for a long time until the Henry Cavill versions finally started coming out. And Superman's always kind of got a bum rap, no matter what. A lot of people hate Superman's character for some reason. But yeah, man, so I think they had a tough climb. And, you know, I think it probably didn't help that that the last, like, Batman Begins and all that did so well. I think switching it up anytime you're going to have a little bit of controversy. And then for some reason, just like the Marvel DC feud and Marvel having such a big backing, being backed by Disney and everything, I think that kind of spurred a lot of, I don't know, just negative press because they own a lot of press, a lot of press publications and news outlets and stuff. So I think it's an uphill battle for them for sure, but I think they're doing phenomenal work. I have seen some criticisms of the trailer so far, but I've seen a lot more praise of it than I ever saw for anything in the past. For anything that I saw for Batman versus Superman, I think people are starting to come around. I think that they're hopefully given another chance. I've heard a lot of good reviews of the Batman versus Superman Ultimate Edition. I think that helped a little bit. I don't know, curve people's appetite for just shitting on it so much. Hopefully that they're gonna get on board. It seems so much fresher. I like the style that it's all shot in. I think the story's different. Like I said, I feel like Marvel, I feel like I could have watched the first Iron Man movie and, you know, been fine. Like, got the rest of it. It's all the same from there on. They're all good. They did a great job. It's just the same shit over and over and over and over, which I enjoy and I like, but I'm just saying it's nice to see something different as well. And to shit on it because it's different is just dumb. I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I think what you said, Disney owning a good amount of the press, is people may want to say, oh, you're just over-exaggerating because you're a DC fan. I'm a Marvel fan and a DC fan, and I think that that's true. I think, honestly, like, Polygon shit on it because, I don't know, maybe they were scared of Disney and other press people. Like, had, like, Rotten Tomatoes, like, the whole thing just made no sense. Just made zero sense. But I think people are more excited for the Justice League than Batman versus Superman. And, but yeah, I just wanted your opinion on it because I think there's still a little bit of a stigma following him around, not something that's going to destroy the movie franchise by any means, but there's still this little, I don't know, you hear it here and there of just, oh, I don't think Ben Affleck's good. And it's like, you haven't even seen any of it. Why do you have that preconceived notion about that? But yeah, I think the Justice League trailer was outstanding. It really made Aquaman, Arthur Curry, look like a badass, and I think that they casted that in an outstanding way, because Aquaman has this stigma of being the butt of all jokes in Robot Chicken and all these, I mean, even just comic books in general, they'll still even make fun of Aquaman. So I think it's cool that they did him in the way that they did.
They made him like a super badass.
Yeah, I think it's great, and it sounds like he's kind of a key role in the movie. So I'm excited. I think everything, how they did it, you know, showing kind of a demeanor. This is our first look at Barry Allen and what he kind of looks like as a character. In Batman vs. Superman, we just saw a little snippet, and I was a little nervous. I was like, I don't know if that's how I perceive Flash with this long hair, and you know what I mean? So I was glad to see that he was a little more like Barry Allen in the comics, of just kind of like a smart ass and this young kid, you know what I mean? So
nerdy loner.
That was and that was encouraging. Also, Cyborg seems like a great leader. I'm excited to get to know that character a little bit more. And we did get to know Wonder Woman, and will get to know Wonder Woman with the new movie coming out. But yeah, it all works together for me. It all makes sense. It all is something I'm excited about. With that being said, what did you think about the Wonder Woman trailer?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I agree with everything you said. I think Gal Gadot is going to kill it again. You know, a lot of people, even all the people that shit on Batman versus Superman, still had nothing but praise to say for Wonder Woman. Really excited to see it. I thought the trailer was really good. I guess, like, I really appreciate, something I really appreciate about the Justice League right now is just the diversity that they have, kind of, as far as like Cyborg and Flash are kind of the young guys, so you kind of have like the kids are really into it, and then Batman and Superman are kind of older guys, and then you have Aquaman is like this loner, just like badass scary dude, and then Wonder Woman, you know, is kind of like, almost, I don't know, she kind of has this feel like she's kind of like the glue that's going to hold everything together. As far as, like, she's a super badass, she's older, she's really well respected, everybody has nothing but high admiration for her. The trailer so far looks phenomenal. She's a good actress. Gal Gadot just looks, like, amazing. I couldn't imagine a better Wonder Woman so far. So, yeah, man, I'm looking a lot forward to it, to say the least. I think it comes out, like, November 2017, maybe? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure the date for it, but I know it's soon, soon enough. Something to look forward to. I love Chris Pines. You know, the new Star Trek's out. Clarence said he saw the new Star Trek, and Chris Pines is an outstanding actor, and he's done great in that movie franchise. So I'm excited to see him in the DC universe. Like I said, I'm still very disappointed that they didn't put him in a bigger role. I don't see him lasting outside of this Wonder Woman movie. I could be totally wrong. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a great movie. I think I want to explore Wonder Woman's origins. I think that there's a huge market, you know, for a female superhero, where women want to understand her origins and kind of get into that character. I want to as well. I just think it's great. Very excited about it, Sean. So
yeah, I thought it was really good also. Then obviously we saw some more teasers for Suicide Squad. Definitely, I feel like it portrayed them more as good guy, bad guys the most I've seen so far. Can't wait to see this movie. Obviously, it's the first one coming out, or the most recent one that's going to be releasing. So excited to see this movie, man. Everything I see just makes me more and more excited for it. And I think if they're able to tie that into the whole Justice League universe and everything, I don't know, if we see some of these characters pop up again later on, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We got some more Joker like scene snippets there, and Yeah, I think it's, I can't wait to see the movie. I just want to see Jared Leto.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I really right. care about. I just want to see him and Harley Quinn, their whole origin interaction, how that story's portrayed. Very excited, very, very excited. So that's right around the corner. I mean, we still saw a lot of the footage that came out. So, I mean, it wasn't that big of a reveal, but they did have some new footage that hadn't been seen in trailers before. So,
yeah.
Pretty good stuff, man.
Super excited. Yeah, definitely. Comic-Con always is phenomenal. I missed ours this year, and I'm super bummed. Would love to go to San Diego Comic-Con. It seems like it's like the Graceland of Comic-Con. So hopefully I'll make it out there someday. Also this year, obviously they saw a bunch of Pokemon stuff was a huge deal because Pokemon Go is blowing up the world. Which led to a 90s kind of throwback. Nintendo has like a boost in everything that they're doing right now. And so we saw them release and talk about. And I think they had like a huge exhibit for their nostalgic Nintendo like replica or whatever. The mini replica that's coming out. Which I guess has been like a huge success as far as like Comic-Con goes. Everybody's super into it. And then other than that, it seems like VR was everywhere for it. Seems like that's going to be the next big push in technology as far as like media and content. So I'm kind of curious to see how that all pans out over the next couple years and what we're going to see with all that. And if eventually we'll be going to theaters and they're just going to be a bunch of VR headsets, you know, sitting in front of you or whatever. Yeah.
Bunch of oily foreheads on there. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, I don't know. They have to figure that out somehow. Maybe you bring your
who
own.
Who knows, man?
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows, man? I the VR debate would take up a whole show, so I'm not going to go into that. But, I mean, IGN, there's some people who are on both sides of the aisle. Polygon, same thing. Yeah, I don't even want to give my opinion because I would just we'd go off on a tangent. But
yeah.
It is interesting. It's cool. Comic-Con's awesome. I think the new mini NES that's coming out, I can't wait to buy that and just play old games, man. It's going to be fun. Just solid fun. So moving right along past Comic-Con, our favorite show, one of my favorite shows, near and dear to my heart, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Their story is just outstanding. I mean, the creator Joel just working as hard as he can to bring this show back to fans that are loyal and dedicated and still love this show. I mean, the Kickstarter set records, and they have announced that the new MST3K season will be debuted on Netflix, which is outstanding.
So amazing.
And they are bringing old MST3K episodes back to Netflix. Netflix had tweeted out, I actually retweeted it just before we got on air. Netflix retweeted kind of like the classic silhouette of Crow and Tom Servo and of them. And it said, coming in the near future. So they're coming back. They were originally, I mean, on Netflix, MST3K was, and then it kind of went to Hulu. It's on Hulu right now. Which was interesting because I also retweeted Hulu just had a thing with MST3K that was like promoting it like, hey, we have it on Hulu right now. And but it was interesting because then like the next day they're like, yeah, we're doing our new thing with Netflix and we're having all the episodes come to Netflix. And they're kind of calling Netflix their new home and stuff. But I was like, Hulu just tweeted a thing about you like 2 days ago. So I wonder how that goes with the rights of how long they have it. Hulu does, or if Netflix, and if it's all going to convert to Netflix, or they'll still be on both. But yeah, either way, it's very exciting. Joel Hodgson, he teased the news at Comic-Con on the panel, and then after that, Netflix had retweeted that really cool thing. So what do you think about this, Sean? I'm ecstatic. I just think what show in history has gone away for a decade or more. Over a decade, and then done a Kickstarter, had outstanding fans, and now it's going to be on Netflix again. I think that's just unheard of.
Yeah, no, I think it's super smart. It makes sense. You know, Netflix definitely seems like the place to try new things or try old things, with the way that they did it too, crowdfunding, their big comeback was like a huge deal. So it just makes sense. It just feels right that it would be on Netflix, because it just seems like their goals and intentions match up with where I feel like Netflix really tries to provide unique quality content, and that just lines up with them so perfectly. It really makes me happy, because I feel like whatever partnership that they're striking with Netflix, I don't know, it kind of feels like it ensures that it's going to be around for a long time, because from what I've seen, Netflix seems like they treat the people that are on their network, I guess, or whatever their service, really well. So I'm really excited to see that they made a partnership with them, and I really feel like that's going to make, hopefully, many, many, many more seasons of MST3K to come. So
yeah, and the pressure is on, man, for the new cast, which Patton Oswalt is a part of. I'm so happy about that. He's playing Frank's TV, and the writing staff that is on board for the new MST3K, just the pressure is on. They have to really perform, because I don't want the show to die because the new season sucks. You know, I really want this to thrive and succeed and last another couple decades. You know, it's just a wholesome, funny, entertaining, awesome show. I always thought, Sean, even before the Kickstarter, I was like, it would be awesome if they just had like comics, just guest appearance on crazy MST3Ks, just to rip on movies. You know what I mean? Like Dave Chappelle. If Dave Chappelle and a bunch of other comics just went and like did a MST3K guest appearance and just ripped on a movie, it'd be hilarious. And I'm just so glad that they just stuck to their roots, and it eventually came back. So success is outstanding. Whenever we post stuff in our podcast about MST3K, we get a lot of listens, because they just the loyal fan base. So it's pretty outstanding. Super excited about it.
Yeah. Can't wait, man. I know that there's a lot of pressure on some of the new cast, but I think they're going to do a great job. I know all the original writers, a lot of them have come back, and then you throw in the mix, just a lot of the new people that are going to be there. I know Felicia Day is going to be like a character on it. Patton Oswalt, if he's writing for it, I'm sure he's going to add a lot to some of the jokes and stuff that are going to be, you know, in the movie sequences. Not you know, not including his own character that is going to be in the interim parts. But, yeah, I'm sure he's going to help out write some jokes and stuff. Bill Corbett. And what's the other guy's name? Kevin Murphy are the two guys that do riff tracks. Those guys are, you know, definitely helping out with the show. I know that they're going to do guest appearances for at least a couple episodes. Yeah, dude, I'm just looking forward to it so much. I can't wait to see what movies they pick to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited about.
I'm curious, like, how I know much rights they're going to get to, like, some newer stuff, or if they have to go old still.
I don't know how that works. I know Riff Trax has done Harry Potter. Yeah. That's a pretty new movie. They've done some newer movies. So if that's the case, if Riff Trax can get the rights for that, I think all bets are off on newer movies. So you know, who knows? We might see a Batman movie in there or something like that.
That'd be so crazy, man.
That'd be
hopefully
funny,
with their partnership with Netflix, too. I know, you know, Netflix is also partnered with Disney and Universal and all these other huge companies, so maybe like there's some like loophole that they could kind of use some of those properties as well.
I think, yeah, no, that's a great point. And just to wrap it up, we have we do have people that listen to this podcast outside of the United States. You are in luck, because Netflix, the new MST3K, will appear in US Netflix, Canada, UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand Netflix market. So they're launching it worldwide, so that's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, for sure. So moving along, we talked a little bit about Star Wars Battlefront last episode. They did announce that Rogue One DLC is going to be the fourth and potentially final DLC planned for the game, to take place on the recently announced planet of Scarif, which is where the new Rogue One movie is going to be based. They just wrapped, I think, episode 8 shooting. Rogue One is the next Star Wars film to come out. So I think it's cool that they're still trying to follow along in the game to make it all relevant. We talked about this last time, that we thought that they were going to keep doing this to help bolster sales and everything. But yeah, it's just a really smart thing to do. I know the next DLC, the third one, that's going to be like the Death Star and everything, is supposed to be coming out soon. But yeah, dude, I think that's really cool. Do you think you'd be interested in doing the Rogue One stuff, especially after you see the movie?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea to market the movie. And Star Wars Battlefront is already a solid shooter, so it's a great platform to put it on. DICE has done an outstanding job. Me and Sean have been very vocal about that, so I think this is great. I just don't have the season pass because of Overwatch and a lot of other video games I've been playing, so I'll have to get back to Star Wars Battlefront, but I know there's always deals going on with Xbox Gold, so they might have a deal for like a season pass that's like half the price for Star Wars Battlefront. You know, I'm sure that that's gonna happen. You can pick up the season pass for a half price or something like that, so if that happens, I'll definitely pick up that and play it. But this is great news, man. Really glad that they're doing a DLC with Rogue One.
Yeah, and I guess they have a new playable hero and villain, which is going to be Jyn Erso and director Orson Koenig. I don't know. I guess these are characters. I haven't followed a ton along with Rogue One and all of its announcements yet, but apparently these are new characters that are going to be in the film, and they're also going to be playable villain and hero in the game as well. So yeah, man, I think it's great news. I think it's cool that they're going to continue to follow along with that. I'm curious to see if they come out with like Star Wars Battlefront 2, or something after this Rogue One comes out, and then they could start along with the new episodes. Maybe we'll see Ren and all the other characters that are in the new ones.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And it's always cool that you get those new playable characters from a film that hasn't come out yet. Who knows, you might love them in the film, and you get to play them in a DLC. So pretty cool. All right, well, the last thing of news on the docket for today, kind of a jab at PlayStation 4. We love PlayStation 4. We aren't we have Xbox One, but we are definitely PlayStation supporters. But this news kind of upsets me, Sean. So Rocket League has already worked on cross-network play between PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So this is very interesting to me. The only thing that they're waiting on is Sony's approval. So Rocket League right now, you could play PS4 and Xbox One cross-network. Like, literally, within hours, they could have this up and running. They are just waiting on Sony's approval. So Psychonauts vice president, the game developer who created Rocket League, Jeremy Dunham, says work on Rocket League's proposed cross-network play between PS4 and Xbox One is now complete. And this is, quote, could be up and running within a few hours. That's how, I mean, literally, it sounds like they just got to flip a switch. Yeah. And it's only waiting Sony's approval. So that's the vice president of Rocket League. I wish I had the information that he has, because I wonder, because this is huge. This is pioneering other games that will be cross-network play between Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. Other game developers will go to Psychonauts game developer and get advice from them, I'm sure, on, hey, how did you get cross-network play to work on this? And I mean, they're kind of pioneers in it's something that we're all hoping that happens for every game. And this kind of pisses me off, Sean. I don't understand why PlayStation 4 is not open to this, but Xbox One and Phil Spencer is. Am I wrong? Does this kind of get your blood boiling?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's kind of dumb. I mean, they might have their own reasons for doing it. I don't know. They should just release it, though. I don't understand what the deal is. I feel like they've been talking about this forever. So it's not like they surprised them with it, like, hey, surprise, we could cross-platform now. And it's like, everybody's been talking about this for a really long time. It's a pretty simple game as far as, like, you know, there's not a lot to do with, like, trying to figure out who owns what and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a fun game that's on both platforms. Lots of people play it. I don't think there's like an advantage to playing it on either. I don't understand why they're holding up. It just, it seems like it's, it has to be something petty, or I don't know. I don't get it.
This sounds stupid and this sounds nerdy, but this podcast is called 5280 Nerd. I wish so badly that they would just unify both platforms. So bad. I mean, I have so many people that play on PlayStation 4 and Xbox, and, you know, I play on Xbox One and vice versa. People who, you know, it just would help the gamer so much. Not everybody can afford to buy two consoles. And honestly, no one, even if you can, then you have to set up a new profile, pay for a monthly subscription to play online on that specific Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, and then go through the game process. Because all that gaming process, Sean, for Overwatch, let's say if I wanted to play on PlayStation 4 with other friends, I'll start at zero. None of that game progress is saved.
Another 90 hours of work you have to put in.
Right. And who wants to do that to get your rank up on just a different platform unless you absolutely have no life whatsoever? Because I'm a busy guy, and I still have put in over 100 hours on Overwatch, and that's a lot of time. So I can't imagine people just doing another 100 hours on another platform. Like, just doesn't make sense to me. And this is blatantly, I don't know, I don't care what paperwork or what copyright infringements are going on here. It's bullshit. PlayStation should be ashamed of themselves for not supporting this cross-network play. And it's very discouraging in the future going forward. Sounds like it's just going to be an uphill battle trying to get other games cross, you know, across platform play. So yeah, it's just discouraging. It's upsetting. And I really wish PlayStation would just stop this nonsense and just unify gamers, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. All right. Well, after our rant at the end, we're going to finish this up like we always do with a couple cheery questions. What do you say we go back and forth today? I'll do one, you do one.
All right, but I go first because mine's ridiculous.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Would you like to bang all the Kardashian chicks, including their mom? Dear God, no.
Yeah, that's a lot of butt.
That is a lot of dumb. Oh, that's a lot of stupid. Yeah. I find them the most vile things. That's how other countries perceive people in the United States. I just can't stand anything about the Kardashians. Let it be known. So yeah, I'm going to put disagree.
Yeah, I would definitely say disagree on that one. That is ridiculous. They're the worst people on the planet.
We're in the minority. 56% would want to bang them. So there you go.
Well, one was doing it, and he became a woman. It was so bad.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, seriously. So if you want to bang the Kardashians, hope you're okay with cutting off your dick.
Yeah. Anyways, not to be too controversial. my question is not quite as good as Micah's. I had $1 trillion or trillions of dollars. Or live forever.
Oh, man. Who wants to live forever? That would suck. Watch all your family die, right? And your wife and your friends. Yeah. Give me the $1 trillion.
Just have one glorious run.
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah. So we're going to go agree. That was 78% agree with us. So, yeah, clearly that was the majority.
Oh, this is good. I can never watch just one YouTube video.
That's true for me.
I do. Yeah. That's true. I always, if I get on YouTube, I watch like at least three or four videos.
I go way down that rabbit hole. Next thing,
yeah, so do I.
I'm watching like stuff watching I have cats, no interest like, in. Yeah.
Dancing and shit. Yeah. And I don't even like cats.
Totally true.
Wow. This is interesting. 69% agree with us. And that's out of over 700 votes. 700 people agree with us, Sean. 69%. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Buy some YouTube stock after that.
Yeah, no wonder why it's like the leading content developer in the world. Okay, so here's one more for you. When shitting in a public bathroom, I wait till everyone leaves before I exit the stall.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm that
totally.
Guy. I totally wait. Even if it's like a half an hour, I'll wait. Yeah.
Totally, man. Like, I, especially, like, if I go into the stall and I'm ready to do my business, if somebody comes and sits in the stall next to me, I'll wait to do my business until they leave.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Yeah, totally. That's just courteous. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's not something that happens often.
Yeah, no, I try not to do the public runs very often, but sometimes you have to. That's just life.
So how many people are like us, Sean?
So we said yes, of course we wait. Only 49% agree, 51% disagree. Yeah,
that's pretty close. That's pretty much half.
Out of 733. So, yeah, we're about half and half. But, yeah, so there's a lot of you just don't give a shit. Well, you give a shit, and then you just leave. You don't care who's there.
Well, you give a shit, and then you don't. So, all right, well, I got one more. You want to extend it with mine?
Yeah, do one more.
Okay. I wear my underwear more than one day.
No. Oh, gross.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
99% no. Maybe sometimes.
Always no for me.
Yeah. Let's just go with no. Oh, we are in the minority. 66% of people wear their underwear more than once. That would explain a lot of smelly people.
I've been on the elevator with those guys.
Dude, that's out of 1,000 people.
That is so much.
Out of 1,000 people, 66% wear their underwear more than once.
Oh, man. That just...
That's shocking.
That just made me lose hope in humanity a little bit.
Yeah.
That's an epidemic. Is what that is.
That is a problem. I hope our next president addresses that issue. It's something that's dividing our country.
People, we need to change our underwear on a daily basis.
Let's wash our underwear. Democracy.
Third world country. Come on, people. Underwear does not cost that much money.
You can buy like 100 at Walmart.
Yeah, and then go wash it once a month. That's all you gotta do. Crying out loud. All right.
Well... Take us away, Sean.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Let us know, do you wear your underwear more than once before you wash it?
We want to
know. Hit us up on Skype. Not on Skype, sorry, on Twitter. Don't show us on Skype. We don't want to have that phone call at all. If you want to reach us on Twitter, let us know your thoughts. Are you excited to see Justice League as much as we are? You can hit us up on Twitter again at 5280nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
Like always, if you haven't, go and subscribe to us. Like us on iTunes. We're also on all the other podcast apps. Like Pocket Cast and Cast. Anywhere else you can find a podcast, you can probably find our podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Check out our website. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Later, guys.